Blog Talk Radio.
If I knew you and you knew me, if both of us could clearly see, and with an inner sight divine, the meaning of your heart and mind, I'm sure that we would differ less and clasp our hands in friendliness. Our thoughts would pleasantly agree if I knew you and you knew me. Happy Sunday and welcome to the life segment of the A New Day show. I think this quote from Nixon Waterman is fitting for today's segment, because today's segment we will be discussing friendship and relationships. And I will be joined by a panel of distinguished gentlemen. I will be joined momentarily by Dr. Ivor Lawson, Dr. Evans Gardner, Dr. Winston Curry, Dr. Giovanni B. Earle, Dr. Barry Robinson and Dr. Lyndon Facey. And these gentlemen are friends of Professor Clive Brown, the late Professor Clive Brown. And I'm sure you will agree with me that there would not be any other persons who are fitting to speak about friendship other than these gentlemen. And as you grab your pens and pads, you'll hear the reason why I invite them on. And we have our first caller on. Caller, good evening. You're on the air. Your last four digits are 8298. Would you please tell us your name and where you're calling from?
My name is Ivan Lawson, and I'm calling from New York.
Hello, Dr. Lawson. How are you, sir?
Hi, how you doing?
I am wonderful. And you can go ahead and ask the other gentlemen, because I know that there are some of them there with you, and they can call in too.
Well, I have four other gentlemen with me here tonight.
Yes.
And I just let them announce themselves.
Okay, great. So why don't you do that, and then afterwards we'll go into the introduction of you, of each of you. So just have them announce themselves, please.
Okay, I'll have them each announce themselves now, beginning with Dr. Curry.
Hello, Dr. Curry.
Hello there.
How are you, sir?
I am fine.
Well, I must say thank you for joining me, because I know here in Connecticut it's a gorgeous, gorgeous day. And for you gentlemen to take time to come and discuss with me about friendship and relationship, I am honored. So thank you for joining us.
The pleasure is ours. I mean, it's perfectly beautiful in New York too, but we know that we would not miss this opportunity.
Yes.
With you in reference to our dear friend, our dear departed Dr. Clive Brown.
Yes, yes.
We're happy. Go ahead.
Okay, please allow the other gentlemen to introduce themselves.
Dr. Robinson is right here.
Hello, Dr. Robinson. How are you, sir?
Hello.
How are you?
Hello. Not bad at all. And you?
I am honored to be hanging with you distinguished gentlemen. I don't think it would be any better place to be.
The honor is mine, dear.
Okay, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we have Dr. Earl.
Yes. He's coming now.
Hello, Dr. Earl.
Hello there. How are you doing?
I am wonderful. Thanking you for taking time out today to join us for this conversation.
I would not have it any other way.
Okay. And who else is there?
Dr. Gardner is here.
Okay. Dr. Gardner?
Dr. Gardner, hold on.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, Dr. Gardner. How are you?
A pleasant good evening to you.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining the live segment of the A New Day show today, when we are going to be having the conversation around friendships and relationships and, you know, what we can take to nurture them and all of that. So momentarily, whichever one wants to introduce themselves first, I just want to tell the listeners how they can call in to ask questions, and then we'll have you introduce yourselves one at a time in depth. So I want to remind the listeners that you can call in whenever you have a question, and the number is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And for those people in the chat room, you can either call in with your questions or you can type your questions in the chat room. And you have the name of each of the panelists listed there in the chat room. You can just say who you are addressing your question to. So guest 12005, welcome to the show. I hope you will learn a few nuggets that will help you enhance the friendships and relationship that you are involved with. So without any further delay, we will have each panelist introduce themselves and just say how long they knew Professor Brown and all of that, and then we'll go back and forth from one person to the other. So, Dr. Lawson, would you like to go first?
Yes. My name is Ivor Lawson. I have known Professor Brown for some 40 years.
Wow. And what's your line of work? You can tell people what you do.
Well, I am a business professional.
Mm-hmm.
I am in the field of finance and financial services.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I want each of you, because the show, although we deal with life issues on a Sunday, we deal with overcoming adversities, reinventing your life, or any other empowering thing that is happening in one's life, this show focuses on the education, inspiration, and empowerment of entrepreneurs. So I want each of you to say what you do, because if entrepreneurs need your services, I would love for them to reach out to each of you. So
yes, I do financial services, which includes insurance, 401k, accounting, and the business management.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. Would you please have the next person introduce himself?
Okay. Hold on.
Hello, Dr. Clark.
Hello. Now, who is this now?
This is Winston Curry.
Hello, Dr. Curry. Would you please introduce yourself, and you can feel free to tell the listeners what line of work you're involved in. So if you have a service that any of the entrepreneurs could utilize, I want for them to know that.
Oh, yes, indeed. Initially, I was on the staff with Dr. Brown as a professor of business. But in the last 15 years, I've been in my own business. I'm in construction. I do mostly industrial, civil work. I've been doing that for quite a while, 15 years, yes.
Wonderful.
Doing that. So what we've been doing, but we still do residential. We don't mm-hmm. specialize in that, but when people want work to be done, we reach out and we do it for them.
Wonderful. So I think we'll need to have you back, Dr. Curry, on a Wednesday segment as well, because I'm sure young entrepreneurs will be able to learn a thing or two from you.
Indeed, I'll be happy to join.
Good. So we will talk again. So welcome again to the show, and I'm really looking forward to the conversation.
I will. I'm looking forward to.
Okay, so maybe it's going to be easier for me to do a roll call so I know who is up. So maybe we can have Dr. Robinson now?
Yes, indeed, he will. He's ready.
Okay.
Yes,
Dr. Robinson?
Yeah, this is Barry Robinson, yes.
I can hardly hear you.
Barry Robinson.
Yes.
Are you hearing me? Could you repeat that for me, please?
Yes. Would you please introduce yourself and feel free to tell the listeners the line of work that you're in?
As I said before, I am Barry Robinson. I'm a management consultant.
Mm-hmm.
I work mainly in the Caribbean for a number of international agencies.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
In the area of institutional strengthening.
Wonderful.
Finance, organization development.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. So thank you very much. And Dr. Gardner.
Yes,
or did I have him already?
No, he's not yet.
Okay. Would you please have Dr. Gardner introduce himself?
Yes, this is Evans Gardner. I'm a CFO for a group of companies, primarily within the construction industry.
Mm-hmm.
My primary function is to ensure the financial integrity of the firm is maintained,
mm-hmm.
and represent the firm in any financial undertaking they may endeavor to do.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, I'm also financial and a tax
mm-hmm.
expert,
mm-hmm.
and quite frequently provide those services to the public at large.
Ah, sound like I have another guest for a Wednesday show. I hope you guys realize I'm actively recruited, right?
No, we're here.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you again. We're Dr.
And,
Earl.
Dr. Clark, how are you doing?
I am wonderful. How are you, sir?
I am terrific.
Good. Please introduce yourself and tell my listeners what you do.
Okay, my name is Giovanni Earl. Transitioned from the corporate sector, currently assistant principal for the Carlton Frank Bionda Education Center.
Mm-hmm. So you are helping to mold the future minds.
Indeed I am.
Good. We are excited about that. Did I get everyone introduce themselves, or did I miss anybody?
Yes, everyone have already introduced themselves.
Okay. Wonderful. Again, I want to thank you, gentlemen, for coming. And before we get into the conversation, I want to read a quote here from Jane Porter, and it says, "Happiness is a sunbeam which may pass through 1,000 blossoms without losing a particle of its original ray. Nay, when it strikes on a kindred heart, like the covered light on a mirror, it reflects itself with redoubled brightness. It is not perfect till it is shared." And I think this quote is fitting, especially today when we are dealing with the topic of friendship and relationship. Now, each of you gentlemen had been involved in a friendship for 40 plus years. Now, I would love to hear from each of you. What would you contribute the length of that friendship to? And when you are speaking, you can just let the listeners know which of you are speaking.
This is Ivan Lawson.
Yes, sir.
And of course, when we talk about friendship and relationships, it is kind of what we call a mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
Because each of us have different talents and each of us have our different individualities.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that goes together. All of that goes together to mold a relationship. We do not, we are not similar. We are not similar in terms of what we do,
mm-hmm.
but we respect each other for what they bring to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
that's one of the reasons why the relationship has lasted,
mm-hmm.
because everybody look at me for what I am and who I am,
mm-hmm.
and I each person for who he is and what he brings to the table.
So, Dr. Lawson, is it right if I say a friendship is then like, you said it's a mosaic, and you said that, and immediately I look on a beautiful piece of silk, a tapestry, and
yeah.
I look on the friendship among you gentlemen as the finest silk, because even married relationships sometimes don't last that long. But here you are, have a friendship among you guys that has lasted for over 40 years. And what better way to put it than say it's a mosaic? Because people who are mosaic artists knows that it takes time, it takes work, it takes skill and creativity to create that mosaic. And that's what I heard you say about a friendship.
Yes, we're individuals,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time we bring our respective ideas, and we bring our respective individualities to the relationship. And that's
mm-hmm.
why it has lasted. We don't denigrate anything that one of our friends do.
Mm-hmm.
What we do is we support each other.
Right. Wonderful. Would you please allow one of the other gentlemen to tell the listeners why what they have contributed the length of this relationship to?
All right, hold on a second.
This is Evans Gardner.
Yes, and Dr. Gardner.
From my perspective, I think one of the things that mold and held the relationship for these many decades resulted that we had a common pursuit.
Mm-hmm.
Common pursuit was academics. We were all academicians, and that was I saw among us.
Mm-hmm.
And that just augmented itself from day to day, from year to year, and years to years.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that was, I think that was one of our common bonds. And as I have said, we had this unique interrelated personality. And
mm-hmm.
none of our personalities were in conflict. They
mm-hmm.
were supportive personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a group of people who have common interests,
mm-hmm.
desires,
mm-hmm.
They're going to bond
mm-hmm.
and remain for an extended period of time.
Mm-hmm. 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 You know, I hope some women call in, because I would love to hear from any female out there who has had any friendship for a long time, because we women, we get so catty and petty at times. I mean, a sister only need to have a good hair day and the other sister get into an attitude. And I would love to hear from any woman out there who has had a friendship for a long time, and You heard what Dr. Lawson say. You now hear Dr. Gardner speaking about what he is contributing it to. So don't forget to call. The number is 646-915-8166. So continue, Dr. Gardner.
Yes, and I think, you know, we have our differences, and our differences, to be quite honest, we were just purely one who we're looking at each other to see what we can learn from each other.
Mm-hmm,
and it was an
mm-hmm.
ongoing learning process. And as we
right.
learned from each other, we grew with each other.
That's right.
And that growth never ended. It's
mm-hmm.
even greater than that, then we'd have gone our separate ways.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like a continuum.
Yes.
And it just multiplied and multiplied. And to be honest with you, we don't see ourselves as friends anymore. We see ourselves as brothers.
Brothers, family.
It has gone
yeah.
beyond the principles of friendship
mm-hmm.
to that as a as brotherly brotherhood. And
that's
we
right.
will never depart from that.
That's right. You know, would it be safe to say the friendship over the years has challenged each of you to stretch beyond your own expectations?
No, I think it was so natural. We were just natural. It's so natural. We got together and we never left each other. We just got, we never left. I mean, I don't know how else to explain it, but maybe some of my other brothers can give a better understanding of what kept them into the body, what kept them into the friendship.
Mm-hmm.
But it just evolved. It just evolved, and we never ever we never had a fight among us. We never had a quarrel. We just it is amazing. Truly
it's
amazing. I must say.
And I tell you, I must confess, because for all the years that I have known Clive, and I've known all the names. And the only face that I knew with a name was Dr. Lawson. I didn't know anybody else. And everything that you have said here now is what I have heard from him. So the reason I ask you all to come on here to talk about this is that I know the rest of the world can learn from you guys, because as you said, you all got in the relationship and you all never left. And even if somebody went astray for a short time, upon return, they were embraced as if they never left. And
well, you know,
that is what
we
commitment
never left.
Is about.
No one ever left.
Mm-hmm.
None of the guys ever left, really.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, none of the guys ever left the group. It's like, none of the guys ever left. I mean, Barry went back to Jamaica. Corey went back in Jamaica, but I could, it was just like, it was like yesterday.
Wow.
You know, although Barry was in Jamaica, it was like he was still in New York.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I pick up the phone and say, Barry, I'm coming in tomorrow. He said, what time? I pick him at the airport, and I, you know what I mean?
Wow.
I would, you know, it's amazing. But let me turn over to one of my other colleagues, so that they may continue the discussion in the same vein. And I bring you the distinguished Dr. Earl.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, hello there.
Hello,
how
Dr. Earl.
How are you doing?
I am great. What would you contribute this friendship for and the longevity of it through your eyes?
Well, ever since we met some 40 years ago, we have always subscribed to and embraced the concept of a synergistic concept.
Mm-hmm.
2 + 2 = 5 or more.
That's right.
So we never look at the individual. We look at the group.
Mm-hmm.
And we look to the group for inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And we have always supported each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In an unselfish and selfish way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We never believe that the task was too great or anything of the sort. We have always looked at each other for strength. In the time it changed and called for that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, this is such a timely conversation. You know, especially in these days when people are so hot-headed and, you know, people have no tolerance whatsoever for anything. You know, and not only younger people. We have some mature people, too, who really have no tolerance level. Just last night, I was in a conversation with a lady, and I asked her about someone who works in her company. And the adjective she used to describe this other person to me, I cannot repeat here on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess she probably saw a puzzled look on my face.
Yeah.
And maybe about 15 minutes she said to me, I should not have
said that.
Describe that person that way. And I said to her, it's amazing because the words that you said to me, you can't take back. And it's not that I'm going to say anything to the lady, but I said, we have to be very cautious as to the words we use when we are describing other people. And she thanked me for pointing that out to her, because I know if each of us, if we begin to peel the onion back far enough, we are going to find some soft spots. Mm-hmm. So we have to keep working at the relationships, whether it be a professional relationship or a personal relationship. It takes work. Unconditional work and love is what it takes to build these relationships.
And one of the good things about our friendship, we are so confident in our friendship that we don't need to call each other every day. Sometimes we don't call each other for a week or so.
That's right.
But we know that when the need arises and we need to call someone, he is there.
That's right.
Even at midnight.
That's right. That's right.
He's there.
That's right.
We're always there for each other.
No matter what. It's wonderful. That's wonderful. Okay. Would you have someone else please give their...
Dr. Robinson.
Okay.
This is Barry Robinson.
Yes, sir.
One of the things I believe that cemented the relationship is that you alluded to it in the statement you made, that it takes work. Mm-hmm. But it's also a matter of respect.
Yes.
And not taking each other for granted.
That's right.
So our friendship was based on a certain level of respect, commitment, understanding that we are there for each other. But at the same time, you do not take the person for granted.
That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Now, 40 years, it's not a short time. It is a long time.
Certainly
you know,
not.
There are many people who came into this life and never saw 40 years. As you look on the friendship among you all, and if you would give entrepreneurs or small business people some insight in how they can use the respect and all of those components that has helped to build the relationship among you guys and kept you all together. It's no longer a friendship, it's brotherhood. It's almost as if you're biological brothers, you know, because I know that's how you're all committed to each other. If you would give entrepreneurs some guidelines, Dr. Robinson, what would it look like?
Well, first of all, there must be a certain level of trust between each other. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go into business, then there must be an understanding, a level of trust that each bring the skills and interests to the business operation, and you can't be looking over your shoulder.
That's right.
Right? It also takes hard work. I mean, if you're starting up a new business, there are certain challenges, there are a certain level of risk, and you have to depend on each other.
That's it?
Well, that is the main ingredient. I would say that trust would be, and because for you to pool your interests and resources, there must be a certain level of trust if you're going
business. You know, I oftentimes tell my clients, I said, you know something? When you're going to go into business with somebody, it's as if you're marrying them. So... you know, you got to make sure you trust them, you love them, you respect them.
You can't spell out everything in a document.
That's right.
You have an agreement.
Exactly.
That a trust supersede that written document that you have.
That's right. Because sometimes you try to dot all the I's and cross all the T's and still something is missing. But when you know that trust is there and the honesty, and you're just so grateful for having that person alongside you, whether it's in a business relationship or a personal relationship, as you rightfully say, not everything can be spelled out in a document. But when you find out that something is not in the document, you don't have to go into panic mode, because you say, hey, we are family. We trust each other. We respect each other. And no one is going to try to deceive the other.
Our relationship is built on that sort of level of trust, because once we give our word that this is going to happen, if I call any of my brothers in New York and say, I need to do so and so, and you need to do this, and they say yes, I don't have to second guess.
And you know it will be done.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You carry that into business relationships. So when you speak about the ingredients that make a successful entrepreneur, you have to take all of those things into consideration.
You know, especially now when, as entrepreneurs and small business people, we can no longer just look in our local backyard. As I had Simon T. Bailey on this past Wednesday, and Simon is advising entrepreneurs to begin to look global first before you start looking in your own neighborhood. So, you know, you can be doing business with a person in Israel. You probably will never bless eye on that person. So you got to go into it with trust.
Absolutely.
You have to go into it with trust, knowing that you are going to give the best. And that's what we should all go into the relationship with. Not about what we are going to get out of it. All relationships, you need to enter it thinking, how can I add value?
That is
correct. Because when you go into it wanting to add value,
you will benefit.
Yes. Yes. Wonderful. Wonderful. Would you please allow someone else to just share?
Of course. Dr. Curry.
You know, if you would, Dr. Curry, if you would give some pointers to entrepreneur or small business people about how they could utilize some of the nuggets that you gentlemen are giving to enhance their friendship and relationships, what would be some of the pointers you would give them?
Well, basically, I would say you start out with hard work. You have to develop a culture of hard work. It's a necessity. And my colleagues so far have enunciated quite a bit. Trust, indeed. Yes, you have to have trust. You have to be willing to be a risk taker.
Mm-hmm.
Not in business, when you're not able to take some risk, then you better step aside and take your 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
So once you become part of a business or a business owner, risk become necessary. Hard work, long hours, and if indeed you have employees, yes, you have to trust them. You have to see them as part of the entity. They become intricate in the success of the operation. Those are things.
You know, I've also noticed, Dr. Curry, that in the field of entrepreneurship, there are a lot of people who are selfish and they are still operating in the Lone Ranger mode. They, what is mine, and I'm holding on to it. So they hold themselves back. They are not growing, and they might get into a networking relationship, and instead of focusing and adding value, they continually have their hands outstretched to say, you know, what's in it for me? What's in it for me? And it's challenging to get them to to get to have a paradigm shift to say, it's not what's in it for me, but as all of you said at the top of
what's
the hour.
What's in it for us?
Exactly.
Yes.
What am I giving? How am I adding value?
Indeed.
Especially as black people or African American or whatever label they wear on any given day, we need to get out of the selfish mode.
Yes. No. As a matter of fact, I would go beyond that to say part of the problem with a lot of small businesses, and if I dare say particularly Caribbean, there is a degree of selfishness to say that it is mine rather than it's ours. It can't be me and mine. It must be ours. Once you have valuable employers, that becomes part intricate in your operation. You have to look beyond giving them a salary. They become part of the organization. Then you're going to have to start factoring them into ownership, whatever percentage that is. Mm-hmm. It would be relevant to the type of operation, years of service, and the kind of contribution that individuals are making to your operation. But you must look beyond giving someone weekly or monthly paycheck. Once they become part of your operation and they're contributing substantially, you have to go beyond this employer-employee relationship, and it becomes us operating as a unit.
You know, it was this past Friday, I forget who I was speaking with, and they share a story with me about a CEO had gone into her business and gave instruction to one of her employees. The gentleman was with the company for 22 years. And she gave him instruction to carry out a task. And he looked at her and said, it's the first in 17 years that someone is really asking me to think. And that's powerful. Because he was there for 22 years. And 17 out of that 22 years, he was just there.
Yeah. Because when you are a salaried, weekly, bi-weekly, monthly employee, yes, you are like a robot. You do what I say. You come in, you do what you're doing regularly, get your check, and after the end of the day or the end of the week, your responsibility ends. And I think once you become part of the establishment, your responsibility carries on.
Is Dr. Facey there yet?
No, he didn't make it.
All right, so, you know, when he comes, you all can just pass the phone to him.
All right, very well, he will.
Let me hear from Dr. Earl now, please.
He spoke to you before, but you can't hear from him again.
Oh, no, okay. So who am I missing? I'm trying to keep track and I'm...
You're missing with Facey. I think you're missing a couple of guys who didn't show up. Dr. Facey.
No, but who did not speak on the pointers that they would give for entrepreneurs? I think Dr. Lawson.
Every one of us spoke on the issue. If you want to speak to
Dr. Lawson didn't speak on this issue yet about giving pointers.
Well, yeah. Let me just say one practical thing here. One of the things that we look at is not individual success per se.
Mm-hmm.
We look at communal success.
Wonderful.
And so when it comes to business decisions, there are times when you don't have the luxury of time. You have to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I have to make a decision, sometimes I don't necessarily have everything that I need to have to make this thing work.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that Evans has something, that Evans has the missing piece.
Right.
So I don't need to have to wait to call Evans before I can make the agreement.
Right, because you know he's going to be there for you.
I know he will be there for me. So I will
powerful.
Say, yes, this is the decision. We sign off on the decision, and then I call Evans and say, this is what we have to do.
Wonderful. That is powerful.
And that is a key. Mm-hmm. That is key to operating to operating successfully.
Mm-hmm. You know, I oftentimes talk to people and I say, well, you know, this person and the other person is in my inner circle. And I say, every person in my life, they are part of what I'm doing, but I have the selected few that's in my inner circle. And the people who are in my inner circle are the people that you just described.
Yes,
you know,
but, you know, I can go further. I can go further. Whether it be business or personal or so forth. Mm-hmm. I mean, if I have to be away and I'm coming back tonight,
mm-hmm.
I'm coming back to New York tonight, and I need somebody to pick me up at the airport. All I need to do, I have to call Evans and say, Evans, I called Gio and I said, look, I'm coming in tonight. I need you to pick me up. And once I get in touch with one of them, I know that I will be picked up. If
Wonderful.
He can't pick me up, he's going to call somebody else. He's
going to
call somebody else and say, okay, you pick him up because he's coming tonight.
And
that's how we operate.
Wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful. I want to switch gears a little, and I want us to begin to talk about the late Professor Clive Brown. And I know it's a loss for all of us. So I just want to just have us spend some time to talk about that friendship and some legacies that he has left with you gentlemen. And it doesn't matter who goes first. You can just share your little bit. I know you're passing the phone, but
yes. All right. Let me pass this one. The first one on to Dr. Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Yes,
Dr. Robinson.
Yes.
I want us to switch gears now, and we want to talk about the friendship and the relationship with the late Professor Clive Brown. And, you know, some of the legacies that he has left with you and hopefully the many people's lives that he has touched.
Well, if we start with the number of lives he has touched, it is tremendous.
Mm.
From an educational point of view, he has been a lecturer at New York University, at Taylor Business. He has worked with UPH in management.
Mm-hmm.
And he has worked at the New York Stock Exchange. So in terms of how many people's life he has touched, it is tremendous, both from molding the young minds of those people who sat at his feet in an education situation.
Mm-hmm.
But also from our point of our interaction, is that one of the things that Clive has left with us is that you can achieve anything that you decide to put the effort in and work. Because Clive was not a slouch. He was a person that worked hard,
mm-hmm.
and he encouraged and motivated all of us to achieve the best that we could as a character. In fact, he set the tone, so we couldn't goof off, because my years with him at Montclair University, Clive is always ready to find a group to continue to study and prepare, so that we were always well prepared for our time. And he was driven in the sense that he has a desire to achieve, and he did achieve, and that has made a very significant impression in my mind.
It's amazing when you find someone who can hold the team together and hold the team accountable, because Too many people are now pointing the finger. No one wants to look in the mirror and look and said, I am responsible for X, Y, and Z. They always look, you know, it's always somebody else why they couldn't do what they are supposed to do. And here you are talking about somebody who kind of held the group together and know that all of us together can cooperatively do a lot more.
Absolutely. In fact, there are times when you probably would want for the cheating, but we decided that we'll take a text and we decide that we'll take 5 chapters each and work them, know those 5 chapters, we write questions and pass them around so that everybody, although we did not read the entire book, we now had the benefit of knowing that book. So when the exam come, we're quite comfortable.
Wonderful.
It was a nice idea to do something like that.
Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You know, it's as I listen to each of you speak, you cannot say that there was any weak link, because if there was a tendency for a link to be weak, everybody pull into that link to strengthen the link. And that's powerful. That's what we need in the relationships and the friendships today. And as I say again, not only with young people, but with a lot of grown people. Because people really don't understand what it takes to nurture and to cultivate good relationships and good friendships.
That is absolutely correct, because in the case of Stacey and I, we went back to Jamaica early, but we did not deem the relationship in any way. We maintained contact all through these years, and of course we made visits and so on. So we were always in touch.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said earlier, the relationship took work and, respect for each other's the privacy and also, an understanding of what each brings to the table.
Mm-hmm. I want to just publicly on the airwaves tell you gentlemen thanks, because what I witnessed on Tuesday, there was a lady in Jamaica I had not spoken to for a large number of years. And after that service, I picked up that phone and I called her. And I called her and she was happy to hear from me. And she said, I've thought of you for years and I just didn't have the nerve to call you after what happened. And she said, can you forgive me? And I said, yes. It's finished with. Because we probably... I'm sorry?
Evening death. This light still shines brightly.
Exactly.
That's what I'm referring to. Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm listening to you.
No, I'm saying that evening death clients light shone brightly, because it is a result of what took place on Tuesday, why you felt driven to call that person.
Exactly. Because, his legacy will live on, and we are going to make sure that that happens. And I tell you, his passing, people who had only met him once, 2 weeks ago, I had dedicated the segment of the Wednesday show to him. And people who only had one encounter with him called in and expressed the impact that he had on their life. And, if that's just one, I can't imagine what others have to say. So, as you say, his light will continue to shine brightly in each and every one of us and the many more who will come forth. Because we got to make sure that there is no bushel that's put over this flame, that it will continue to burn bright and brighter and brighter.
That is exactly true. Mr. White.
Okay, so can
okay. Yes, let me. This is Ivor Lawson. I want to come back. I want to come back to that to say one of the major things that that held this relationship, to which Clive was a major contributor, is that we were not judgmental on each other.
Important.
We accepted each other for who and what he is and what your ideas are.
That's right.
We never always agree on every issue, but that never has any impact at all negatively on the friendship or on the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because we felt that we weren't looking for people who were similar to us.
Gophers, right.
You understand? We weren't looking for people who were just similar to us or think the same way we did.
That's right. It wouldn't make any sense.
I guess what I'm saying is that we were not insecure.
That's right.
We were not insecure.
That's right.
And
that's
so
right.
We know that Clive was a hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
We were not always as hard working as he was.
Mm-hmm.
But we respected that and we learned from that.
Exactly.
And we move on.
That's right.
So we were not judgmental. We made sure that we accepted each person for what they had to bring to the table. And even if we did not completely agree.
Exactly.
You would not be excommunicated
from
the friendship because of your ideas.
That's right, because we have to agree to disagree. And a lot of people have a big challenge and struggle with that. They cannot agree to disagree and know that everything that comes to the table, you don't necessarily is going to use it right now, but you can put it on the back burner and pull it forth when you're ready for it. And as you say, nobody in that relationship, no one, was insecure. No one was threatened because you
Absolutely.
All went in there with your authenticity and your uniqueness. And it's like,
the relationship work. We were all unique. We were
that's
all
right.
unique. And
that's
what
right.
we and what we brought to the table, again, I go back to what I started off with, the mosaic.
That's right. That's right.
Created
because a friendship is like a delicious salad or a beautiful bouquet of flowers. You put your best in it so that it is pleasant to the eyes or to the taste, but it's delicious.
Absolutely.
And if you begin to look on a friendship or a relationship in that manner, you will always focus on giving your best.
Yes. And if we didn't see Clive for 2 weeks, 2 months, or even a year, where we started off again where we left off.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We never forget where we left off.
That's right. That's right. That is commitment, and that is true friendship. Dr. Lawson.
I'm
sorry. Go ahead.
I was just about to turn you over to Professor Gardner.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
for his ideas on this subject.
Listen, you all are playing it safely by using one phone. Because if you all have different phones, then I would be all over the place. But you all just like have me so confined.
That's good. My reflection on Clive within the group was that Clive had a commitment to excellence. Mm-hmm. If you want to know about Clive, is that he was committed to be the best.
Mm-hmm.
He worked hard, he pushed forward relentlessly, and he did what he was expected to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just to excel, very simply, And he said that when one excels, then one would have achieved that which is expected of them.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that honorably and without unfair.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, he was an old country boy who understood that coming from the country, you have to work hard to be those strong boys. Of course, in Kingston, you have to beat them up, you know?
You know?
Dr.
Gardner.
Yes, my dear.
Dr. Gardner.
Yes, ma'am.
I want to share something with you, as you mentioned, about the country boy. The week before he died,
yes, ma'am.
He asked me for a piece of paper towel, and I gave him a square of paper towel. And he looked at me, and he said, Daphne, don't be stingy with the paper towel, because when I was a boy, I didn't have paper towel to wipe my face.
As I'm telling you, he was always there. You know, he never forgot his roots, and I think that
that's right.
He was a theoretician.
Mm-hmm.
He understood the theory, and that's why he remained steadfast to teaching.
Humble.
He understood the theoretical aspect.
That's right.
Of the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us are embarked upon
mm-hmm.
the practical side of the discipline.
That's right.
And but Clive has always remained to the theoretical side of the discipline. And in so doing, when you stay on that side of the discipline, all you do is you impart knowledge. You become
That's right.
the father. You become the storekeeper of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You become the archives of knowledge. And that's how I saw him all the
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
We had our battles, and our battles were not physical, but they were intellectual.
That's right.
And
we will
present, and he will present, and we will go out.
Debate.
We go at it for days and weeks, and we come back at it, and we kick it around, and he was relentless.
And everybody came out better for it.
Yes, and he was relentless in approach, and he never backed down. And
My favorite thing to always tell him, man, talking to you is like doing a thesis, you know? But
yes.
I always come out for the better. And what a pleasant memory to have, you know?
Yes.
What a pleasant memory to have. And as you look back on the legacy that he has left behind, how do you see that impacting lives?
What you have in that context is that how I see it is basically be it NYU or TBI, it is in that context where his legacy will best be served, best
mm-hmm.
be felt, best be understood.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was the consummate of knowledge, and mm-hmm. it's an institution of learning. His legacy will be best felt.
Mm-hmm.
He saw a lack of knowledge and tried to make it a better informed environment. And
mm-hmm.
this is where he will always, with all of us who know him best, that will be his greatest contribution,
mm-hmm.
Providing those who lack knowledge with
mm-hmm.
the knowledge that they should have had to be a part of this society in which we lived in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The lack thereof is one of the greatest testaments in life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really not the father, but one of the storekeepers
mm-hmm.
of that belief.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know I think one of the lessons that you kind of affirm, I forget which of you spoke about that he did not settle for a B. And one of my motives in life is never to settle for mediocrity. And
no one can say that of him for 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know?
We both attended graduate school together.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when he was doing his thesis with Dr. Ruzima.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his thesis to present, and he asked me to come into a classroom that was empty, and I had to sit in that classroom with Clive alone for almost 2 hours and listening Clive presented his thesis and questioning him like the professor would have questioned him. I can never forget that day. And Clive held me in that thing, man. And Clive go back and said, Clive, listen to me. That's wrong. And I just to see how you respond to him, to go, what happened basically, that's what they do. They promote you.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be at your best.
That's right.
And he was really preparing for the faculty. And he really did well. So, you know what I mean? we had our many long Sundays in the library, and he was really a part of knowledge.
You know, he really held himself to high standards.
And I would say, knowledge was the essence of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you know anything about him, you would say knowledge was his being.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge was his character, or mm-hmm. the seek thereof.
Mm-hmm.
He might not have had it, but he would have sought it out.
Yes.
And whatever medium he had to use to get it, then he would have done so.
That's right. That's right. And he, you know, even up like weeks before his death, he was saying that, oh, I need to move to a bigger place because I have to get a library. I must have a library, and I don't have a library. So even though he was ailing, he was still aspiring for more learning. More learning, more learning, more learning. And that's a lesson that we can all learn. And I'm just hoping that the listeners who are listening to the show understand the importance of knowledge. It's not going to come knocking. You must go seeking, because there are too many adults in today's world who don't even have a library card where they can go to the library and read a book for free, more or less go into the bookstore to purchase one. And if you are holding yourself back that badly, you know, you need to look in the mirror and start and begin to assess yourself and where you want to go. Because, no, not the government holding you back. You are holding yourselves back. Let me just remind people. Give me a minute, please. Let me remind people that you can call in when you so desire. We'll take your questions. The number is 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. Please continue.
This is Dr. Earl, Dr. Clark. How are you doing?
I am wonderful, sir.
You know, Dr. Professor Brown was an extraordinary man.
Mm.
Extraordinary qualities. You know, there's seven or eight of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we all are unique individuals.
Yes.
And it is said that if there's anything that should arise to divide us, should only result in making those things stronger.
Yes.
That are here to unite us.
Mm.
So even though we have different ideas,
mm-hmm.
and a uniqueness to each of us,
mm-hmm.
that did not hinder
mm-hmm.
or cemented the relationship
mm-hmm.
of the brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
I've had the opportunity to study with Clive at the Midtown Library.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about on Tuesday. And it was just a serious moment. When we are studying, we're studying. When studying was over, then we go and have a little bit of recreation.
Mm-hmm.
Not to exclude the hot dog. But I can surely say that he was a man of extraordinary qualities. And his legacy will live on.
Hold the phone a little closer to your mouth because you're kind of fading out.
I'm saying it was a man of extraordinary qualities.
Mm-hmm.
His legacy will live on.
Did every one of you spoke on the legacy already?
I think we did, yes.
Okay. I want to go like to the beginning of the relationship and to talk about how did all of you end up together? Can any of you remember the beginning of this relationship? How did this happen that eight of you just come together like that, like magnets?
Well, I think Dr. Lawson can go into more specificities of the of the genesis of the relationship.
Okay, please put him on.
But so let me put you on to esteemed Dr. Lawson.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I met Clive at business school. And then we recognized quickly that we were from kind of neighboring parishes in Jamaica. And then we started to debate the great and eternal issues of our time. And yes, we started to debate these great issues. And then I realized I was not quite familiar with his ideas as much as Dr. Robinson was. And so I remember when we took up certain subjects, he and Barry would go at it kind of toe to toe, and we listened in and had a little kind of our ideas put forward. But he was an animated fellow. And I mean he was very much committed and committed to what he was saying and believed in what he believed in.
And he was passionate about his ideas too.
No. When it comes to any subject that that we were discussing, no matter where it was. I mean, and I can tell you that he and I would walk in Manhattan.
Mm-hmm.
We walked around NYU.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, there would be guys in the park around NYU discussing the great and eternal issues of our time.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember détente when Nixon went into détente with the Soviet Union.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw some guys at the park over there discussing it very, very animatedly and seriously. And I'm passing with Clive, and Clive stood there and listened to them. And I said, Clive, come on, we gotta go. Clive said, oh no, man, this go back to where democracy began in Athens.
Mm.
He said, remember Socrates, this is where Socrates did his thing.
Oh, my God.
Yes, and so he sat there and he listened. And would you know it that when we have another debate someplace, some of the things that those guys were saying and Westport Street and the part there,
he included.
It was included in Clive's debate.
It's like he has the brain that just copy everything and he holds it there and pull it forward.
Absolutely.
When he needs it.
I mean, I was telling him, come on, let's go, but he was listening for the salient points.
That's right.
From those guys.
That he could utilize later on.
And my goodness, when we came to the debate,
Clive had those things ready for us.
Ready.
Even when Nixon and Brezhnev had had a wine.
Yes.
He knew.
Amazing.
But Barry can tell you more about how that evolved.
Yes, please put him on. And
yes,
guess hold on, Dr. Robinson. Guess 1440, welcome to the show. If you have a question, you can call in 646-915-8166. Thank you. Go ahead, Dr. Robinson.
Yes, well, Clive and I did go to the same business school at Tyro, just spoke about this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we were both interested at one time in politics also, and had several debates about politics.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a good debater.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, one of the perhaps the only time that I believe I won a debate against Clive, we were discussing the legality of abortion, and Clive is deeply religious.
Mm-hmm.
So, you might not have known, but he is. So
mm-hmm.
I decided to think of the unborn child as a blob of flesh, and I was so distressed.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose he gave up. That's good.
That must be the only time he gave up on something.
Oh yes, because he felt that it was blasphemous. But I thought that that's the only way I could get the better of him.
So I bet you didn't get the opportunity to trick him again, because
no, not at all.
If you had not put your emotion in there that way, there was no way you were going to win that debate.
Absolutely.
Because he was going to go to the bitter end. And
oh,
he's always so cool and smooth in going. He wasn't demonstrating his emotion or anything. He had all his facts, and he would pull them and present them in a way that would just take you from the blind side.
Absolutely. Clive was well read, and
yes.
He was very knowledgeable.
Wow.
And one of the things I must say, I've never seen Clive angry. I mean,
no.
There are
mm-hmm.
times when we tease him relentlessly
mm-hmm.
about, you know, several things, but I've never seen him lose his temper.
That is so true. That is so true. And I look back and say, I wish I could always hold myself together, because for as long as I've known him, I've never seen him angry either. And I guess we all can reflect on that as we continue to live our lives, you know? There is something that he has left us that we can all continue to grow on and to just to build on it, because we who are left here, we are still a work in progress, and it never ends. And we know that. And as we continue to live our lives, we are going to continually be asking ourselves, what would he be saying if he was here with us?
That is absolutely true. Although it's soon, but each time we keep reflecting on what Clive would have said
mm-hmm.
in particular circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Clive was an individual who take pleasure in knowing
mm-hmm.
exactly what was happening around him and
yes.
heart with it
mm-hmm.
for the fullest.
Mm-hmm.
He was not one that was prepared to stand on the sideline and just let the world go by.
Yes, yes.
And that is one of the things that I would always remember, that you need to get involved. You need to make your contribution to make this
mm-hmm.
this the best.
Yes,
this
yes.
The living.
Yes, yes. Yes. I don't remember, Dr. Robinson, I don't remember which of you gentlemen shared about an instant when Clive had a B grade.
I think it was Ethel.
No, I don't think. I don't. Yeah. Well, whoever it is, yeah, I would love for them to share that story.
I think it was at the service, the Thanksgiving service.
One of the gentlemen. I think it was Dr. Curry, but then I could be wrong.
Okay.
Ask the person to share the story, please.
She wants you to share the story.
I want to share about the B grade.
Oh,
remember
yes,
the conversation?
Plaza did a paper for his professor, and did the paper, and professor promptly gave him a B grade. Of course, Clive was not a B student. Clive was always an A student.
Mm-hmm.
And so he couldn't wait to challenge the professor, give him an explanation as to why his paper was not an A paper.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the professor said to him, gave him some kind of long-winding explanation
mm-hmm.
as to why he got a B, but tell him that a B is a very good grade. He should not be discouraged with a B.
Wow.
Clive knows that he does not relate to a B, and B doesn't motivate him. So professor went on to say to him that, in terms of the English language, he was not as proficient as a foreign student. He was not as proficient as his American-born counterpart.
Wow.
And of course, Clive told me at that time, once the professor said that, bubbles were bursting.
Mm.
So he said to the professor, he said, I don't relate to the bees, unlike some of the other students here. Who, when you give them a C, they have an automatic form of hysteria. He said, I don't relate to that. And then he saved his most pointed and poignant words
Punch.
For the professor mm-hmm. for last.
Mm-hmm.
He said, it comes to English language.
Mm-hmm.
I know the damn English language. It's my mama tongue. It's my mother tongue. That was it. And then I remember that, Clive must have learned his debating skills way back in the early days in Jamaica.
Oh yes.
Because he used to tell me about a former minister of communication and works who was from Montego Bay.
Mm-hmm.
A.G.S. Coon.
Mm-hmm.
He said Father Coon. He would mm-hmm. tell people Father Coon would say, I will take out my coat card and whip you into political darkness.
He never, you're right. He never backs down from anybody, because especially when he worked at the tax office, and
mm-hmm.
all the men, like some of the attorneys and some of the judges from the court office, because they were adjoining offices, they were
mm-hmm.
out there in strong political debates. And CB
yeah.
never backed down with his pencil, because he was the head cashier with his pencil behind his ear.
Mm-hmm.
And he toe-on-toe with them there. And as young
yeah.
as he was holding his own with men in their 30s and 40s.
Oh, yes, he was. I know he was whipping them into political darkness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know? And I know a lot of people was very surprised when he went into accounting instead of English language, because everybody thought that, because he had such a command of the English language and used it so well and all of that, everybody said, oh, he's going to major in English,
Oh, no. Clive used the English language as his
tool.
As his hobby.
Weapon. Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
He never failed to use a word correctly.
Yes. I want to ask you, we are down to a mere 35 minutes remaining in the show. I want us to focus on our young people and boys and girls. To be honest, I could not be a teenager in today's world. So first I want to just praise them for being able to carry themselves with respect and dignity in today's world. But if you gentlemen could give them some pointers by which to choose the friendships and relationships that they get into, what would some of these things be that you would give to our teenagers, especially the black kids? Because
in that respect, I'll turn over to Dr. Gardner.
Yes.
Then to Dr. Curry.
Great.
And then to Dr. Earl.
Okay, wonderful.
Dr. Gardner.
Well,
Dr. Gardner.
One of the things I think young people should be reminded of, all use as a tool of building their friendship and relationship, is priority should be those who aspire to be the best. Now, if you're part of a body that aspires to be the best, then in turn you will become one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if your goals and aspirations are not at a certain level, then by and large, the results will not be there.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot have good results from poor input. So the input must be the best there is.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be a part of a committed and dedicated body so that in the final analysis, they themselves
mm-hmm.
will be committed and dedicated.
So,
you have to look at the input factors to understand
mm-hmm.
what the results are going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And young people today oftentimes find themselves caught up into the social and the psychological less than. And I use the word less than not sparingly, because they have to understand that being a part of the less than is not where it is.
Right, right.
They have to be a part of an informed body of people.
Exactly.
And in so doing, they themselves will be informed.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, you know, there's a good old saying, an old computer saying, garbage in, garbage out.
Exactly.
All right? So
exactly.
They have to have good input factors
mm-hmm.
to get the best results that they are.
Mm-hmm. And what
they
say,
they
also say,
apartment.
Right. One of the other popular saying is that if you can show me five of your closest friends, I can tell you who you are, right?
Correct. Which is really exactly what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not. For some unknown reason, they just don't understand what life is about. Some reason they believe that life is going to be a basket of roses, a basket of cherries,
mm-hmm.
not understanding that the basket of roses and the basket of cherries comes from commitment.
That's right.
It comes from solid, hard work.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't fall off. Cherries don't fall off the trees. When cherries
That's right.
fall off the trees, they're no good. They're rotten.
Exactly. Exactly.
If they think they're going to fall from the trees, they're going to be a rotten bunch. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's
and
so
they
right.
They have to understand that fundamentally.
Mm-hmm.
And until they aspire to be the best there is,
That's
to
right.
be a part of the best body in their community,
mm-hmm.
right? Until that is understood, realized, then we are going to have failing young black people.
Exactly, because, you know, their choices and their selection of friends is what is hindering their progress, not the color of their skin. It's the choice.
No, I don't do color. Listen, oh, yeah. it is that right. My son said to me that, and he made a very potent comment when Obama became president.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, Dad, no black person can ever say to them, him again, it is because I'm black.
That's right.
Understand what we're looking at here.
That's
He's
right. The president
that no
broke
black
that
person
mold.
Can say anymore because
That's right.
I am black.
Yeah, because for years people had that crutch.
Obama really dispelled that.
Exactly.
As one of the conditions of our progress.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you spelled that very, very well.
That's
so
right.
Tell them to look, tell the young people to look up, to look at those who inspire, and look at the best among the best.
That's
to be
right.
A part of that community.
That's right. I was speaking with a lady the other day, and I said, every time we get into a conversation, you're mentioning about your competition. I said, your competition is not your problem. I said, your past performance is your problem. And until you start putting some energy in stepping up your performance, you're still going to have issue. Don't concentrate on your competition. Because if you operate in your authenticity and your uniqueness, you have no competition because nobody can do you like you do you.
All right, I'm going to turn over to my next brother and friend and colleague.
Okay.
So we can continue this discourse.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Who is this, Dr. Earl?
This time you're reaching Sir Winston Churchill.
Who is this?
Sir Winston Curry. Winston Curry.
Oh. So, did you go to the wedding, Sir Winston?
I slipped that by you, huh?
Did you attend the royal wedding this week?
No. It was not a Freudian slip. I remember when I left undergraduate school, I worked at a place in Manhattan.
Okay.
There were two Jewish ladies. They were in the accounting department. One Friday, I picked up my check, and when they wrote it, it says, Winston Churchill. That was written on my check. And I said, if I take it to the bank, they probably won't even know the difference. So, you know, so yes. So, in any case, what we're discussing here is the subject here. There was a time when I used to speak to my friends and other people outside of the group.
Put the phone a little closer to your mouth.
Yeah, and I used to say to them, you know, all of my friends' children, I don't have any friend whose children are not doing well.
Mm-hmm.
Because we pride ourselves in kind of steering.
The village.
Hiding, yes. Indeed, we had a village.
Takes the village to raise a child.
We had a village. Because I must tell you that I remember registering Dr. Gardner's son in kindergarten, and we used to shuttle Dr. Lawson's daughter from one place to the other. So it was indeed a village. So I used to go.
Mm-hmm.
I used to take pride in saying, look, all of my friends' children are doing well.
That's right.
And they will get into the best schools and they will have the best education that they can possibly hope for. But
now we need to get back to those basics, you know?
Indeed. And I'm telling you, as a fact. But
you know,
at the end of the day.
You know what puzzled me, Dr. Curry, is when I see somebody living next door to somebody for 3 years, 20, even up to 30 years. And they don't know the person next door.
That is true.
And this is why our young people getting into so much trouble, because the village is not responsible for them.
Indeed. But see, I always say that young people need to listen to parents. They need to listen. They need to observe. They need to emulate. They need to emulate their parents. They're friends, and they need to have respect. I'm telling you, like the Bible says, honor your mother and your father.
Mm-hmm.
The children should do
half that, not even all the way. Just
yeah.
About half.
But some of these children, Dr. Curry, they don't even know what the Bible is.
Indeed, because they're not going to church.
Yeah,
you
and the parents, because the parents is out there chasing the almighty dollar and losing their children. So instead of, you know.
So yes, we have to go back to basic where in our days when we grew up, you have to go to church even when you didn't have shoes. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
When you're going to church with barefoot, right?
Yeah, you walk barefooted until you get close to church. You wipe your feet
absolutely.
With the soap cloth
absolutely.
And put the shoes on.
Absolutely.
And when you get out of church again, you walk down past the main road and then you take the shoes off again.
Absolutely. So my
you
point
know?
Is, yes, the basic fundamental respect
mm-hmm.
that was part of our being, part of our brought up, see, has disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Disappeared. And yes, so these children, they have veered off course. And so, yes, that is indeed part of their demise.
You know.
But all is not lost.
That's right.
Children that are going along and doing well and then achieving.
That's
and
right.
We are testament to that.
Mm-hmm. 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 So, you know, what are some of the basics that you think we can go back to help our young people?
Listen and obey their parents, elderly, your teacher. Go back to this education.
Mm-hmm.
You must understand that without education, you know, education is the great equalizer.
Yes.
The great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
And in spite of America's racism, if you're educated, you will be moving forward.
That's right.
And that's indeed, yes, the mantra that they should
mm-hmm.
take and run with.
That's right. That's right. And this education never stops, you know.
Yes.
Never
yes.
stop. You must keep investing in yourself, you know. I tell people all the time that your intellectual capital, the investment in that is supposed
mm-hmm.
to surpass your wardrobe.
See,
but I look here and a lot of people have it the other way around.
See, when we came to America, those of us older West Indians or Jamaicans in particular, when we came to America in the 70s, early 70s, when you meet fellow Jamaicans, almost everybody are West Indians. Fellow
mm-hmm.
almost everybody is going to school.
Yes.
And that is why, and that was part of the genesis of this
mm-hmm.
particular group.
Mm-hmm.
That was the common denominator that binds us, that we were all seeking that education that we need to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you're able now tonight to speak to all of these gentlemen.
That's right.
Education.
Mm-hmm. It's important.
We came out of Jamaica. Most of us had jobs that were decent jobs, but
mm-hmm.
we knew we had to move forward.
That's right.
And we came to America. We didn't pick up a job and say, this is going to be okay. We knew we had to go to school.
Exactly. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Oh, no. Oh no!
You know,
and I missed out because when I registered at WBI, but somehow I didn't get into WBI because of some immigration papers. So I had to go to another school,
mm-hmm.
and so I didn't meet some of these guys until we then went to St. Francis. That's where we met.
Yes.
So that's why
yes.
my history of them with them is not 40 years, but 30
mm-hmm.
something years.
But still good. That
oh,
is
yes.
still
so
good.
Plenty. So yes, and most of us, the guys that you're spoken with, most of us, we have done well by our children because the children realize that there's no
mm-hmm.
out, there's no way out other than doing well in school. You know what I mean? So
that's right.
We are actually the choir.
We have to make a choice.
And we try to pass it on to other people that are not so informed as we are.
Yes.
We have.
Yes.
They should,
yes.
They too should.
Yes.
Still in the offspring of the nation.
I think that Dr. Curry, I think majority of the young people now, they put more emphasis than on getting a job versus continuing their education.
But is this changing social fabric that we live in, where the parents can go but so far with their children? Otherwise,
yes.
The authorities will say, you are abusing. You know what I mean?
We
are living in a different world.
Exactly.
You could push them but so far.
Mm-hmm.
That otherwise you are abusing the children. So nowadays there was no such thing as abusing you.
They should be going to school like we were in the early days in Jamaica.
All right. So look, it was great, and we are very, very, very happy and to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who next you want to speak
okay,
to.
Okay, there was one more person that
Dr.
Lawton wanted to speak on the issue of children. I think it was Dr. Earl.
Yes, he's the last one. Hold on.
Dr. Clark, how are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Yes, we're talking about our young people now and what kind of an insight and nuggets you can give them to make sure that they are selecting better friends and relationships that can keep them on the straight path.
You know, when I'm not quoting the Bible, I'm quoting great leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to preface what I'm going to say by quoting the words of three of our great American leaders. RFK, struggle continues, hope endures, and the dream shall never die. Dr. King, the late Dr. King, I have a dream today that my four little children live in a nation where they'll not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the contents of their character. Billy Graham, a pretty face and a well-looking lad, isn't enough to carry you through some of the rough roads of life.
Mm.
So what I would say to the children of today, that they must look beyond a pretty face or the fashionable clothing when they choose their friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our parents have always said to us, show me your company.
Yes.
You know who you are.
Exactly. That's what I've said before. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when they're seeking their friends, they should look for, as Dr. King says, character.
That's right.
The contents of their character.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because as is evident by our friendship in this group of eight guys, our friendship is that we. You know, it is said that a chain is as strong as its weakest link.
Mm-hmm.
And every link in that chain has to be strong in order for the chain to endure.
Wonderful, wonderful.
So friendship transcends, you know, the glamour and the glitz and the glamour. You got to look at character.
Mm-hmm.
To choose your friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because at the end of the day, all those glitz and glamour go.
Mm-hmm.
Character is what
mm-hmm.
legacy would
mm-hmm.
be.
Mm-hmm. Well said. I'm sorry?
It is very important.
Yes, extremely. Extremely. I want to just interject here and share a quote by Anna Cummings. And after that, I'm going to ask each of you gentlemen to please give us your summarizing statement for this conversation. And in that summary, I want you to include whatever you want to put about our late friend, Professor Brown. From Anna Cummings, do not save your loving speeches for your friends till they are dead. Do not write them on their tombstone. Speak them rather now instead. And I think that's fitting to share now because, you know, too many people go around with regrets and I wish I did and all of that. So I just wanted to share that. And I want to ask each of you, we are down to the final 14 minutes of this amazing conversation. And what a privilege it was for me to moderate this. It was really an honor. I want to ask each of you to each give us your summary. And then we are going to close.
Well, since I have the mic in my hand, let me start.
Yes.
You know, my mother always said, consistent with what the quotation that you just articulated,
mm-hmm.
that give me the flowers now.
Yes.
Don't wait until I'm dead.
Yes.
Then you show the public what you can do and you put a whole bunch of flowers on my coffin and my tomb. Give it to me now.
Right. Let me smell them.
Exactly.
Let me enjoy them.
So we talk about opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Collected opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We should not wait for tomorrow.
Yes.
Richard Nixon said, live each day as though it were your last day.
In the moment, right now, yes.
In the moment, now. So, we should not wait for tomorrow to say to a friend, a loved one, how you feel about them.
Exactly.
Tell them now.
Tell them now, because we don't see 9 o'clock. We only see right now, and we have to embrace this moment. The present, this is all we have.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Four things that come not back. One, the spent hour.
Mm-hmm.
Spoken word.
That's right.
Past time and neglected opportunity.
Amazing.
So we should
Wonderful.
Never neglect the opportunity to say to someone, look, I appreciate you.
That's right.
And
thank you. Thank you so much. Yes. We are down to 11 minutes.
Let me pass it on to Dr.
Yes.
Robinson.
Yes, would you, Dr. Robinson, please give us your summary thoughts.
Well, first, I think this is a fitting tribute to our fallen brother.
Yes.
And it is unfortunate that it was not held that he could have heard how we think of him. And this is one of the things that
he's listening.
Yeah, we must take into the future that whenever we get opportunity to say how we think of our brother.
Yes.
And don't wait for the moment when we can no longer enjoy it.
Yes.
Now, he has lived a fulfilling life, rather short by things these days. I mean, the technology life is prolonged.
Yes.
And it is one of those things that we say that he has gone too soon. Because I was with him last year And I didn't see any sign that I would be speaking now about his, you know, his transition to But I think this is, remember, I think it's an excellent idea.
Yes.
And one of the things that we should ensure that we continue to celebrate his memory, because he made a lot of contributions.
Yes.
To the and of many
Please
of
keep those. The phone. Keep the phone close to your mouth.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He has made a lot of contributions, which we celebrate.
Yes.
And we will take away from this that life is uncertain at best.
Yes.
So we need to do what whenever we get the opportunity.
Embrace the now,
the
present.
We can.
Yes.
As we travel along this road.
That's right.
Okay. Mr. Gardner.
Yes, we are down to 9 minutes, so, and I want to give everybody an opportunity to summarize.
Yeah, let me say, in conclusion, an evening well spent, upon reflection of our dear brother, we all know his contribution, and he will be truly missed by those who wanted to be a part of community, who want to be a part of education, who enjoyed education, and who knew that in the absence of education, they would be truly missing life's opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be remiss if I did not say tonight, in relation to one of the segments you had, which was what do we think is important for the young people today?
Mm-hmm.
As far as what they should be doing vis-a-vis their choices.
Mm-hmm.
I think what is imperative in the world in which we live, I think at the end of the day, the parent is truly the agent of the child.
Yes.
The parent is truly responsible for the development of that child.
Yes.
And the lack of the child's development stems from the parent's lack of involvement.
That's right. That's right.
The parent.
Mm-hmm.
So if the parent were to create an environment whereby the child understands, it is called, Michael Manley once spoke of the principles of rising expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And if the child knows what is expected,
that's right,
then the
they'll
child
deliver.
Will every day.
That's right.
So those parents who are listening to us this evening, understand that all parents decided that it is incumbent upon them to do for us.
That's right.
To provide the structure. Don't care, we are born poor. We're poor. We came from poverty.
That's right.
But poverty was never a deterrent for us.
Exactly.
It was that instrument that propelled us.
Propelled us and got the adrenaline flowing. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
It is what motivated us. And, you know, when you're in poverty now, yes, and you look up and you look at a little white house, you say, Martha, we need that. And if you go and get it,
that's
you have
right.
to go and be a part of that community that can afford it. And that only community is the community of education.
Yes.
The community of knowledge.
Wonderful.
So I ask of all, in closing, I ask all the parents to be committed, as Clive was, to be resolved. As Clive was. And in so doing, you'd have made your children and the world a better place.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good evening.
Thank you. We are down to 5 minutes, and I need to hear from the other two gentlemen. Quickly.
I think we only have one other gentleman to speak.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
This is he.
Yes, sir. Just give me your summarizing thoughts, and I just want you gentlemen to know that whenever you need a platform to talk about anything that has to do with empowerment, give me a holler.
Yes,
so go ahead, Dr. Lawson.
Yes, my good friend Clive has passed on. And at this time, I have to say that as we look back at his life, we have to say that when we can so live that we can look back and find that we have been useful in trying to make this world a better place to live in.
Yes.
Then we can say we have not lived in vain.
That's right.
For the greatness of our lives shows itself in service.
Mm-hmm. I think he's proud.
I think he has come to us. He has done his best. Mm-hmm. We commend him. He will live forever in our memories and in our hearts.
Yes.
And so when the night turns into day, as indeed it will, may all of us awake.
Yes.
For a brighter tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And, you know, I know I'm not a brother, but I feel connected to the rest of you guys. So you all have to deal with me for the rest of your life. So
okay, this is the group of seven.
Yes.
God bless.
Yes, I want to thank you gentlemen very much, and whenever you have anything you want to talk about, give me a call. I felt it an honor to moderate this conversation, and I just pray and hope that
we will make it our forum.
Yes. Yes.
And God bless.
God bless you all. And for those of you who are listening, what an amazing dialogue and conversation, and I hope that you all will listen to it. I hope you all will tweet it. But I want you to re-listen. Download it. Know that you were created for a destiny. Do not allow anyone or anything to take you off of that path. Stay blessed.
grab it in your spirit and say this. Thank you for showing me and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I dare you to declare it. Tell the Lord thank you for showing me. Hallelujah. And directing me. Speak to it. My destiny. Come on, you declare it to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I speak purpose tonight. Hallelujah. You will open that business and direct it. Hallelujah. To my destiny. I know what I'm here for. Tell the Lord, thank you. Hallelujah. For every trial that came with the slave. Hallelujah. For every struggle that came with the slave. I'm mighty grateful. I said I'm mighty grateful. You feel it in your spirit. Almost see the breaking of day. It's destiny. Then I know what I know, what I know, what I'm here for. Yeah. Oh, for showing me to the Lord tonight and directing me. Hallelujah. To my destiny. A strong God. You may not be able to touch it right now. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change